If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Dynasty by Lowe's. This time of year, the drafts are coming for Dynasty, and we're here to break down some players, veteran players, that you may be able to scoop up with a late Dynasty pick right now that can help you win in 2022 and beyond. Before we do, we want to make sure you join us across the board at Razzball Fantasy. Give us a follow, like, review that YouTube channel. We are killing it right now with videos. We'll be doing a bunch of fun stuff later in the next few weeks before the season starts. So join us by following us on Razzball Fantasy on YouTube. But also make sure you check us on IG and TikTok. We have daily videos on there as well. We're doing a bunch of content on takeaways. And preseason week two is coming around the corner. We'll have a bunch of reactions on there as well. But today's show, before we do, let's get into it. Let's talk a little bit about Dynasty by Lowe's, starting right now on the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. Oh, people must be confused today, folks, because we're talking Dynasty, but we got donkey teeth on the show. Like, what is going on at Razzball? I'm excited to introduce my main man, Donkey Teeth. You can follow him at DonkeyTeeth87 on Twitter. He's joining me today. I appreciate you doing it, DT. What's going on, man?
What's up, brother? Yeah, I mean, Dynasty, I've been playing Dynasty Fantasy Football for forever. I think I got you into your first Dynasty League.
You did.
So, yeah, I'm ready to talk, man.
I know. Usually we have Paul Blake dropping knowledge, but Paul's gotten a little sick this weekend, so we're going to make sure to give you guys some Dynasty content, but we're throwing a little twist. Today we're going to talk about some veterans, veteran buy lows in Dynasty. And by the way, make sure you go into Razzball.com, folks. I forgot to talk about it in the intro. We have a bunch of great stuff for great content, brand new writers. We have a bunch of veteran writers coming back for another great season over on Razzball.com. So check out all the ADP tools and all the other tools we have to help you win your fantasy league. So today's show, I'm going to give people a quick breakdown. So one of the things I wanted to do is talk a little bit about some of these guys from training camp and some of the takeaways from preseason that really stood out to me and how we should attack them now and try to buy them before the season starts, because I think they're going to have either breakout 2022 seasons or they're going to offer some legit value for you, and I think you can buy low. So today I'm going to tell you the player, why I like them, and the offer. And DT's going to help tell me if I'm losing my mind, if the offer is too high or low. And we're going to come to a nice consensus at the end so we can figure out what you need to trade for these players. And let's start at the top. A guy I've been talking about a lot this season, off season already, has been Paris Campbell. And the offer on the table is an early third round Dynasty rookie pick, folks. Now, Paris Campbell has not been a model of health over the last few years. We know that. Alex Pierce has been drafted, but now Matt Ryan comes into the door for this passing offense, and I think there's some room for him to really blossom. Over this, in his career, in the games he actually started and finished, he averages just under 6 targets per game, and he's eclipsed 50 yards or 5 receptions in 3 of those games. So he's been productive when he's healthy and on the field, and in some cases, a la Deebo Samuel, for example, we don't see they finally have that healthy season and they take off. So now with Matt Ryan in town, this is another key. From 2011 to 2020, his wide receiver 2, and the reason why I bring this up is because currently he's running in 2 receiver sets, if you haven't checked it out, his average finish for the wide receiver 2 with the Falcons, wide receiver 33, averaged 12.6 PPR points per game, so there is some upside there. DT, first, explain to me what you think about Paris Campbell, and maybe if you like the offer or not, or is it too high or too low?
I like Paris Campbell. I've always liked Paris Campbell. I think there's a lot of risk there. There's opportunity, obviously. You know, there's not a whole lot of competition. We talked about this when we were doing the wide receiver show. Behind Pittman, it's really wide open. Campbell, he's had trouble staying healthy. So, I mean, that's risk number one. Just guys that have gotten this far into their career that were hyped up and have not performed. It's kind of a long shot that they break out at this point in their career, but I've always liked the talent. I've always liked the player. So hate the buy low call here, but I think early third round pick is a little bit rich for my blood. I mean, we're looking early third round, like probably like a Taquan Thornton or Davis Price or Khalil Shakir. I like those guys. I like taking a shot on the real unknown. And I think a lot of the guys that, you know, just a sneak peek behind the curtain here on your list, Bobby, these are pretty deep cuts that you're looking at, which is what makes Dynasty so fun, is that these guys are actually relevant. But there's only a couple guys on this list that I am actually really going to go to bat for. I think this is more of a flyer on Paris Campbell, which a lot of these players are.
Yeah, that's a good call. So I'll pull up the consensus Dynasty rookie rankings over on Razzball.com to give us a better gauge of what you could be drafting in this range. But let's jump down to the next player. So I think I might, based on some of your comments, bump him down to maybe a mid-third round pick, which is exciting for me. Hey, I'm all about less. I'm all about spending less to get Paris Campbell. But let's see, right around the pick 25, you got Malik Willis, Tyler Allgeier, Khalil Shakir, Taquan Thornton, and Desmond Ridder right now in our Razzball ranking. So I feel like I get what you're saying. Khalil Shakir is going to be behind a lot of target competition in Buffalo. So we'll see. Mo Ali Cox, the next one on my list. This one is more of like a late third slash fourth, early fourth round pick. Now, this is more for a team that needs a tight end and might need like a second tight end, especially if you're in a dynasty league and you're kind of short at this. Matt Ryan has been absolutely awesome with his tight ends over the past decade, from Tony Gonzalez and mostly Austin Hooper. But Jacob Tammy even had a top 15 tight end season with Matt Ryan in that offense. Now, if you look at just the averages amongst those tight ends, they averaged 11.8 PPR points per game, which would have been tight end 8 in 2021. That's between Austin Hooper, Jacob Tammy, and Tony Gonzalez. So there's been plenty of times where Matt Ryan has really promoted a good tight end. The second part of this, though, is Mo Ali Cox himself in limited playing time. In the two games without Doyle that missed last season, he played 66% of the snaps in those games. And one of the games, he had a 5 for 111 in that game. So he's proven to show he can have a 100-yard receiving game when he gets more playing time. And in the five games in his career where he's played at least 66% of the snaps, he's averaged 9.3 PPR points per game, which would have been tight end 17. So I think he kind of offers you a nice tight end 2 option for your dynasty leagues. And there's some room for growth too, especially if, for example, a guy we just talked about, Paris Campbell, gets hurt again. And if, for example, Alex Pierce doesn't translate some of his success into NFL games, he could find himself into that second or even third option in this passing game. So what do you think of the offer for Mo Ali Cox?
Again, too rich for my blood. And I think that that's probably, I'm just guessing that that may be my answer for a lot of these. One thing I guess we should broach here, Bobby, is that every league is different, right? And so, you know, if we're talking about, if tight ends are a real premium in your league and you say like our 14 teamer that we're in, Bobby, it's tough to find a quarterback. So valuations on like a veteran quarterback, or it's even tough to find a tight end that's available in the free agent pool. So a league like that is totally different than if you're in like a 10 team or even a 12 team dynasty league that doesn't have a massive bench. There's really more incentive for me in those shallower type leagues, which I think most home leagues are probably going to be 10 to 12 team dynasties and not have these ridiculous benches like we have in ours. Maybe some of the people listening are in one of those. And then Mo Ali Cox does have more value. And of course, these are players that if you're like in your contention window and ready to compete this year, they have a little bit more value too. So I think for me, I'd probably be looking at Mo Ali Cox a little bit more as a fourth rounder. I do like the player. I think the opportunity is there again. I think he's a nice flyer in redraft leagues. And if you are have a veteran dynasty team contending, but like you look at the end of the third round and on our Razzball consensus, we got Velus Jones there at 36. We got Romeo Doubs at 31. Like, I would much rather – these guys have big upside to me. And even if it's not this year, they're the type of players that can have long-term value. So I'd rather take those type of shots, and you can find kind of a Mo Ali Cox through the season in your free agent pool, or if you want to trade a late pick or something, maybe even like downgrade a few spots for a guy like Mo Ali Cox in season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so let's just take a approach of 12-team half PPR dynasty league. So we kind of, moving forward, we all have like, because I get it, there is nuance to all these kind of things. So let's definitely take that approach. So I think it kind of gives a center point for everything. So the next guy is Isaiah McKenzie, Now, Isaiah McKenzie, right now my offer on the table is early to mid third round pick. Now, I know Khalil Shakir is going in that range, but Isaiah McKenzie has already began to start as a slot wide receiver. I know Jameson Crowder's in town, but one of the things that stood out was he's getting a lot of camp buzz, but he also sat in the first preseason game with the starters. No Josh Allen, no Stephon Diggs, no Devin Singletary, no Dawson Knox, and no Isaiah McKenzie. You know who did play in the first preseason game? Jameson Crowder. And you would think the veteran would be the one that gets the time off, not this young guy who's trying to prove himself. So I think just getting that slot role for Cole Beasley over the last, you know, the last three seasons, his average, his 17-game pace for targets is 120. And remember, last season, the one game without Cole Beasley, Isaiah McKenzie played 11 catches in that game. So he's already shown flashes. I think this is a kid that I want to take a shot on with Josh Allen. What's your thoughts on the pick?
Yeah, I like the call as well here. I think you're on to something. There's definitely going to be some value, especially probably more in like full PPR. We're talking half here. So I still think that there's value. I think he deserves a roster spot. And then it comes down to, you know, roster construction. Again, I'm probably more a little bit of a late third round. I guess my personal preference, and we kind of alluded to this when we were doing all of the other ranking shows, like I really like that unknown upside. And there is some unknown upside with Isaiah McKenzie, like really getting his first like real opportunity in a good offense with almost a guaranteed role, it seems like right now. So if you're in that contention window, yeah, I think I like this one the most of the first three, if you're going to give up a pick, but it's still tough to pry away a draft pick from somebody like me that just, I want that shiny new toy.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, well, the good thing is that you'd be a great trade partner then, because I would be giving you the picks if you had these guys. So let's jump down to the next guy, Zay Jones. Now, the offer is a mid-fourth-round pick. Now, keep in mind, most of my dynasty leagues that I'm in now are only three rounds. So I have to actually take a step back and realize that some have five rookie-round picks. And if that's the case, great. Offer a fifth first before you do any of this stuff. But I'm basing it on having essentially three to four rookie picks. So that's why a lot of my analysis here. But this is a mid-fourth round pick. Here's why. Zay Jones got a decent deal. 3 years, $24 million for the Jaguars. He's been overshadowed by Christian Kirk's deal. But Christian Kirk has been in and out with injury over the last few weeks. And in the first preseason game, he had four targets of the first 12 attempts from Trevor Lawrence. He outshined Marvin Jones. We talked about that in our AFC takeaways earlier in the week. He did have a solid performance too. At 47, led the team in receiving in that game. I just think that my opinion is this guy is starting to blossom a little bit. He showed some flashes with the Raiders last year and really cheap. You could probably, he might even be on some shorter leagues, waiver wires, like a 10 team league in some cases. So this is my thought here. So what do you think about the offer and the player?
I'm again on board with the player. I mean, everything out of camp sounds great. I've been on board the Trevor Lawrence long-term bandwagon, and he's got to throw to somebody. So why not Zay Jones? And it sounds like there could be something there in Jacksonville this year with Zay. I think once we get into the fourth round, I become a little bit more I guess, less attached to a draft pick. You're looking at much more crapshoots. There are some interesting names going off the board in fourth-round Dynasty rookie drafts. But I think that, I could get on board with this one here, Bobby.
Yes. I feel like you've been shooting me down. It's been hurtful so far. This show has been tough for me today. I don't know what to say.
Well, it's you know, Bedon and I on our shows, it's just difference in philosophies, and you run into that somewhere along the line.
Good thing I got to have tough skin. You got to have tough skin in this game. Anyway, let's jump down to Austin Hooper. The offer on the table is a mid-third round pick. Obviously, for this one, I'm just thinking in my mind that, you know, the first thing that stands out is that Robert Woods coming off the injury. Treylon Burks is playing with the second and third teams. They're promoting Kyle Phillips as like this breakout star of camp. And really what's going under the radar is the guy that has had a very consistent camp and been a frequent target for Ryan Tannehill is Austin Hooper. In the Ryan Tannehill era of the Tennessee Titans, okay, they've averaged a top 12 finish on the 3 years amongst team tight ends. So the team tight end finish for fantasy points is top 12 over the last 3 years, and they average about 14 PPR points per game at the position. So the tight ends flourish in the tight end and the scheme last year. Last year, they had a bunch of hodgepodge, and they finished 17th in tight end scoring last year when they had Anthony Firkser, Jeff Swaim. So the offense is good. The quarterback likes his tight ends. And Austin Hooper has flashed in the past, especially in his time with the Falcons. So what do you think about Austin Hooper for a mid-third round pick?
I think it's reasonable. I like Hooper. I like the thesis here. He kind of let me down. He burnt me in Cleveland. I really expected more of him when he went from Atlanta to Cleveland. So a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth there. But I think that he could have a solid season. He's going to be, 28, I think, this year. So there's some dynasty value if he has that bounce back. I think most of these players... I think that there's something to like if a lot of them aren't going to be owned, like you said, in a shallower league. I think a 12 team league, there's a chance that Austin Hooper is out there on your wire. If he is owned, the owner probably is not like super attached to him either. I think you can get a guy like him by trading like your early third rounder for a mid to late third rounder and just give the other guy a few slots up, and then you didn't pay too much, you're not invested too much. I think it's a good flyer, but I just think giving a third round pick is maybe a little much.
All right, that's good to know. I like that little flips. I like the flip. It's good stuff. All right, next one is kind of a little more of a mainer one is Khalil Herbert. Offer is a late second round pick. This one I think probably I might be actually a little low on, but overall, I think the split's coming. I think that Montgomery for this season is the primary guy. Not saying he's not. But Luke Getsy comes over from the Green Bay Packers, who just featured two solid runners. A lot of noise about Herbert coming out of camp. But I'm not even worried about this year. I know that he's probably going to be the 1B or 2 on the team. But David Montgomery is probably not going to be re-signed, and he's a free agent after the season. Now, so I think, in my opinion, that you could probably still get Herbert relatively cheap. And then by next year, we might have a chance at a really solid back. So what's your thought about Khalil Herbert offers a late second round pick?
Yeah, I think we talked about Herbert on a past show. Maybe I like Herbert. I think that he's going to be really valuable in best ball leagues this year. It's just going to be tough. Unless there's a Montgomery injury, it's going to be tough to predict when he has those weeks. But longer term, I do like him quite a bit. And I think that you nailed it here as far as late second rounder. I think that's the right area because we're not going to give up a mid second round. I don't think if you're looking at like a Wandell Robinson, I'd rather have him right now than Khalil Herbert personally. But yeah, when you put me to the test with like Zamir White, Brian Robinson, I think that that's the right group. And I think I got Herbert a little bit ahead of them. So I like this. I think this is a very fair swap.
All right. I'm going to be wheeling and dealing soon, I think, in Dynasty. I like it. This is all good, man.
It's so fun.
So Irv Smith is the next guy I want to talk about here. I actually have him down for a late second round pick, another guy who, by the way, just doesn't seem to stay healthy. Now he's got this weird thumb injury, but it sounds like he should be ready for the season. But here's just some interesting stuff. Last year, the new offense comes in, and there's a lot of excitement about how Kevin O'Connell is going to have this more a pass-happier approach, which – I could digress. I don't know if that's going to be necessarily true, but anyway, the point is that there's going to be plenty of opportunities in the pass game behind Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, And I think Irv Smith, listen, Conklin last year averaged 18.1 PPR points per game while receiving 87 targets. If you apply Irv Smith's career catch rate, yards per target, and touchdown rate to 87 targets, he would have averaged 10 PPR points per game, and he would have been good for tight end 14. So I think you can get a high-end tight end, too, relatively cheap in the late second round. What's your thoughts on Irv Smith and the offer?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much like on board with everything you're saying about all these players. It seems like we're really on the same page. I like the valuation here as well. Irv Smith is only 24 years old. There's still a ton of potential. I really like Irv Smith, and I think that there is a real opportunity here. And I said off the top, there were two guys that I would go to bat for, and it was Khalil Herbert and Irv Smith. So these are the two, yeah, that I really do like. There's some risk there, obviously, but the upside is still huge. And you can kind of look with guys like Khalil Herbert and Irv Smith, you can also kind of look at where they're going in redraft leagues. You know, Irv Smith is going off the board like round 13, 14, I think, in most leagues. By the way, you can go over to Razzball and check out our ADP compilation. So you can kind of get a gauge. Like if a guy's going off the board in the, you know, the first six rounds, you're going to have to pay quite a bit. If a guy's going off in the double digit rounds, then hey, maybe you can steal him away for an early third or a late second. Ooh. But I think that that's the right kind of range for Irv Smith's upside.
All right. So, you know, we don't always want to give up picks, right? So we wanted to find some bargain bin guys that are probably on your waivers. One of the guys I wanted to bring up is Ameer Abdullah. Check your waiver wires first. And then if he's on a team, you probably could get him for like a fourth round pick. Now, what I'm thinking about here is, number one, there's a lot of reports about him taking over the James White role in the offense for the Raiders under Josh McDaniels. Now, I don't believe that the James White role will be as important for the Raiders because they have Davante Adams, Darren Waller, and, you know, Hunter Renfrow versus what the Patriots had in like 2018 when it was like a bunch of random receivers and a banged up Gronk half the time. So I do think the James White role might not be as prevalent. But what's important to me, though, is that it is a role that could have its spike weeks. And especially in any PPR format, I think Ameer Abdullah might find himself on a low-end flex radar some weeks as well. The other thing about this, too, is that Kenyon Drake and Zamir White played last week in the game. You know who sat in that game? Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs, Davante Adams, Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, and Ameer Abdullah. And that just tells me that maybe he does have this lead in this offense. Why would Kenyon Drake be getting work right now instead of Ameer Abdullah when you think Drake is the more talented back? It's telling you something, so I think you get this guy either off waivers or for where your last picks. But what's your thoughts about Ameer Abdullah?
Yeah, I think he's on waivers in most leagues. Much like Austin Hooper, this guy has really burnt me in the past. I was so high on Ameer Abdullah.
I basically went back for the last 5 years, looked up every person that let DT down and put him in the show.
Yeah, where is Kerryon Johnson? Is Kerryon Johnson coming up here?
I got you.
It's hard to get too on board with a guy like Abdullah when the backfield is so crowded. And I mean, there's a decent chance that he's worthless. We're reading into some preseason stuff here, but yeah, I totally think he's worth a dart throw. Why not? And I agree. It is weird that Kenyon Drake would have played and Abdullah wouldn't. Reports coming out of camp are very positive. So, I'm on board with taking basically a free flyer on him.
Jumping down to Jeff Wilson, I have him down for my offer is a late third round pick. And really, when it comes down to it, Trey Sermon, a lot of people are excited because how he looked in that preseason game. But this is another one. You have to watch who's on and off the field. Guys that were not in the field, Debo, Kittle, Ayuk, Mitchell, and Jeff Wilson. Jeff Wilson is the number two back on this team. He's the preferred back in pass protection. Now, I don't think the passing role for the running back will be huge with Trey Lance. I'm not saying, especially with all the weapons and how they use that offense, but I do believe the next man up is Jeff Wilson if there is an injury to Elijah Mitchell. And that's kind of taken me why I'm taking a flyer on a Jeff Wilson. The other thing is we've seen him in action. He's performed when he's gotten the work, but Elijah Mitchell has not yet proven that he could stay healthy. I mean, his rookie season, he only played 11 games. He got banged up. And we've seen over the last half decade that running backs under the Shanahan scheme cannot stay healthy. So I think to just take it a flyer on Jeff Wilson, especially even if you have Elijah Mitchell, go get him for a real cheap dynasty pick and just have him on your bench just so you can soak up that backfield. What's your thoughts on Jeff Wilson and the offer?
Yeah, I mean, again, agree with everything that you're saying. I think it's a little bit high for me just because of how the 49ers offense works. you know, even yeah, Shanahan does seem to have this weird obsession with Jeff Wilson. It's hard to deny that. So I think there's definitely some value. He should be rostered. And when you start to look at late third round picks, yeah, these are definitely guys that you're probably not going to be super attached to, and you might be looking at dropping for the flavor of the week, depending on how large your rosters are. Because again, going back to, you know, the super deep leagues, because even a 12 team league, Bobby, you know, there's some dynasty leagues where it's like, yeah, 12 teams, but we got 50 man rosters, and anybody that has a chance at stepping on the field at running back or wide receiver is owned. Versus like I've got my home dynasty league, it's like we got 24 man rosters or something like that. So it's like Jeff Wilson is very fringe ownable, and you might be able to pick him up throughout the season. So I don't know. I'm very wishy-washy on my because there's so many different variables, but I do agree with you. There's value with Jeff Wilson. I think I'd just rather have the late third round flyer that could blow up.
Okay. So I bumped him down to an early fourth because, you know what, we value each other's opinion on this show. All right. Cool. Cardale Hodge, my last one. This is kind of like, hey, I just want to talk about this guy at waiver wire, and here's why. So Mariota, there isn't anything in the data that's going to tell you that Mariota is going to produce, you know, enough to have three fantasy viable pass catchers, because you know that Kyle Pitts and Drake London are the one and two. That's probably locked in. However, some of the things that I did want to look at was over the last few years, like how has Hodge looked when he's played? And to be honest with you, I was genuinely surprised how good he's been when he's gotten on the field. In his career, he's only played three games with 70% of snaps or more. He averages six targets in those games, and he's been over 70 yards twice, which I thought was kind of surprising. So it looks like when he gets on the field, he might just be a gamer, folks. And he looks like he's locked in. He's at the top of the depth chart. He played exclusively with the Mariota team, Mariota drive, and then also he caught one of his two attempts. So I think there's something there. If he's on your waivers, just scoop him up. I don't know if I'd be willing to trade any real draft capital for him at all, but I just thought he'd be an interesting flyer based on some of the things I've seen with Mariota, how he's looked with Arthur Smith. But what's your thoughts on Hodge and the offer?
No, I agree. So. I agree. Waiver wire. Well, yeah. So my dynasty leagues, typically my longest running one, we do three rounds. It's 12 teams. Like I said, it's like only 24 man roster. So it's deep, but it's not super deep. So after the draft, then we have a free agent budget of like $100 for the season. We'll open it up and you place blind bids on everybody out there. So I think Hodge is one of those kind of guys in that type of league that you can snag for a dollar or two after the draft. And you'll know pretty quick, you know, if he is in that role, because there's some guys in Atlanta that could be interesting. I mean, somebody's going to have to show up. Obviously we both like Drake London, but Gage, somebody's going to have to grab those other targets there, though. So why not Hodge, right?
Absolutely. All right, folks, that's all we got. Thank you for indulging me, by the way, DT. I texted DT yesterday and said, hey, man, I'm just gonna go for it. And he said, you know what, I'm in. And that's what partnerships are all about. You're there for each other, even when random shows don't even make sense for what we've been doing over the last few months. But this is our Dynasty by Lowe's Veterans to Bet On. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. You can follow me at Bobby LaMarco on Twitter. Make sure you're following us across the board at Razzball Fantasy on TikTok, IG, YouTube, you name it, we got it. And make sure you're going to Razzball.com, folks. We have articles pumping every day, and it's not your typical stuff, folks. We got defense information. We got offensive line, injury indexes. We have ADP data that you can use to win your fantasy league. So go to Razzball.com to get that information. Once again, I want to thank my co-host for today, Donkey Teeth. You can follow him at DonkeyTeeth87 on Twitter. We are out of here.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.